Kay. This is the Pacifica National Board's National Finance Committee meeting of December 8th, 2009. It's 8:41. I'm calling the meeting to order. This is the Chair, Jamie Ross. Let's see. The first item of business will be for the Secretary to call the roll.
Okay. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Hey.
Brian Edwards Teekers.
No, he's in Copenhagen
at the moment,
reporting for Pacifica and KPFA.
Here will suffice. Thank you. Sherry Gendelman.
Yes.
Campbell Johnson. Lizette King.
Yes, I'm here.
Alberto Luera.
Present.
R. Paul Martin here. Summer Reese.
Summer.
I heard her before. Okay, skipping. Jamie Ross.
Here.
LaVarne Williams. Susan Young.
Here.
And I will add Simon Pius.
Here. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's a quorum, no matter how you slice it. Okay. Is Summer here? Okay, she must have gone off the call or something. Okay, well, thank you very much, R. Paul. Okay, folks, so our next item is to approve an agenda for the meeting. I sent out a proposed agenda with the following items for the public session. One, affiliates budget. I've invited Ursula Rudenberg, the affiliates coordinator, onto the call, so when we approve the agenda, we can have John call her, and hopefully she'll be able to come on the call.
And this is Summer. I know you're... doing the role. I got disconnected. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Summer. Good to hear you really are here.
Yeah, I'm really here.
Can I ask a question, Chair?
Can I read through the agenda first, or do you, or does it refer to something?
Yeah. The person who joined his name is what? Pius.
Simon Pius. P-I-U-S.
Where from?
KPFA. Treasurer.
So we have two treasurers from there.
Yeah, sort of a temporary issue because the LSB has different ideas about who the treasurer is. So rather than argue about it here, we'll let them figure it out.
All right.
Okay, LaVarne, welcome to the call.
Thank you. Sorry about that. It's been one of those days.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. And let's see. So reviewing the agenda, one would be the affiliates budget. We can have Ursula come on the call. Two, LaVarne, I have WPFW budget. Can we look at that budget yet?
I think we can look at it, but I still, like I said, due to our little venture, which we were successful in today, Bert Hill and I had worked with Robert on Thursday, and then since that time we've been working on with the attorney on this case that was deciding in our favor today. But it was decided in our favor. But
By the way, I should tell you, Simon,
mm-hmm.
If you need to mute your phone or unmute your phone, you press #1. That's
thank you.
And for mute and unmute. Occasionally,
okay.
People are in busy areas, we ask them to mute their phones.
But I think it should be okay, just in terms of looking at the at a preliminary before we have reviewed it more with Grigsby and with West together.
Okay, so we'll get used to it.
This will be a good start, I think.
Get our feet wet. Okay, so that's item number two, and I'll send that around. Three, any other budget items? Four, this is the item from last week, monitoring the budget of upcoming year. There was a motion around from last week. Five, having someone on this committee who is not an elected treasurer. And six, a request for aging payables report. Those are the agenda items I have. So, is there any objection or changes to this agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll accept that agenda, and we'll move on to the affiliates budget. And let's see, John, if you'd like, you can invite Ursula, you can bring Ursula onto the call. And what I will do is I will send out the latest versions of this thing that I have. Okay?
The WPFW budget or the affiliate?
Affiliate.
Okay.
And this is LaBorne. I'll be able to send some of the other reports as soon as I download them and just look at them briefly, then I'll send them out to you.
Okay.
The cash and bank, the some of the legal expenses, and the Democracy Man, FSRA, and payables we were able to. That national office, Lynn, is, like, really good. So we have those. I'll send those to you as I look through them again, and I'll send them on. Okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Find this latest budget here. Did someone join the call?
I don't know. This is AC. I don't know if you heard me when I said I was on.
Oh.
Who's that?
Isia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's a director.
Yeah, okay.
She is a director.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Ursula?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Ursula. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
So let's see. We're on the National Finance Committee. This is the National Finance Committee, the treasurers from the various stations and directors. And on the table right now is the affiliates budget. So
okay.
let me just introduce this issue for the committee. This is a new thing for the National Finance Committee and for the Pacifica Foundation, actually, to have a separate affiliates budget, at least that's reviewed by the Finance Committee. In the past, it's been part of the National Office budget. Briefly, the affiliates program has hundreds of member stations, all of whom pay a fee, and they get some programming and some other stuff from Pacifica. And in return, the affiliates program also has some costs. So there's some issues, that'll come up as we review. One is how to quantify. One of the motivating factors, as I understand it, for having a separate affiliates budget is to be able to monitor the performance of the affiliates program over time and, bring home the fact that this is a money-providing part of the Pacifica Foundation. So let me just forward this latest one. There's a couple of issues. I've gotten budgets from you, Ursula, and I've also got a budget from the National Office, and one has a separate payment for Democracy Now! Of kind of a high amount of money, and the other one doesn't, so that's one of the things we have to deal with here. But I'm going to send around budget 6 from Ursula right now. Oh, by the way, Ursula Rudenberg, of course, I failed to introduce her correctly, is a coordinator of our affiliate program.
Mr. Chairman?
So what I'd like to do is to have Ursula give us a brief introduction of the budget, but I'll take your question.
There were several bleeps. There were several bleeps that came on while you were talking. I'm just wondering who else joined our call.
Arlene is on the line now.
Arlene, welcome.
Hi, Arlene.
To the call.
Hi.
Campbell.
I'm late. They were setting up my computer, and it took a little finagling to figure out how to use this phone properly.
Ah. Okay, so folks, I've just sent around budget 6 from Ursula. So
I heard Campbell's voice. Hi, Campbell.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Great.
So, Ursula, if you could walk us through the basics of budget 6, and I just want to remind you that this is an open call, so we don't want to get too into the details of personnel issues on this line.
Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to go from top to bottom. That was what was suggested to me by Jamie in terms of best way to explain this. So I'm just going to go down the row, and if something seems obvious, forgive me. I'll try not to waste any time. For starters, the projected income for FY10 is $240,000. I'm going to do my darnest to make it more than that, but that's what I think is a realistic number to start with at this point. It's pretty much what we made last year. First on the list is my salary, coordinator salary. I'm assuming I should not give numbers for salaries. Is that
correct? Yeah, why don't you not give numbers for salary?
Okay. So in anyway, that includes my salary and benefits.
Okay.
Then there's another number which signifies the amount of time that the National Office told me they spend in terms of billing. At this time, we don't do the billing out of my office, although we assist with the billing a great deal. And it certainly does take up some of the work here. The actual checks are sent to Berkeley, and the billing is done out of Berkeley by Lynn Magno and her staff. And so that amount there signifies her estimation of how much time they spend on this. Below that is an amount for an assistant to myself. This is a position that I see by now as essential to the sustainability of the program. There was an assistant prior to FY9, and I'm asking that position be replaced because the program is really not sustainable at this point without assistance. The next item is amount for technology services. This goes towards work done by the technology staff to help pay for that. Now, in making this budget, I said, and I still feel that eventually it probably would be good for that money. Well, in a way, the way it's termed now is good. It just kind of, however that's used, is not really up to the affiliates program. Okay, so below that is broadband and telephone. That's the cost of internet service and telephone. Below that is cell phone cost. below that is the cost of the affiliates program has a conference call line, which is not used a whole lot, but it having a separate line really solves some scheduling problems that have occurred in the past. It's the same company that we're using right now. It's just a different number or a different code. Then there's an item which is $2,000 for equipment. I'm in pretty desperate need of equipment here. I'm operating. I use my own computer right now. I don't have a laptop. And my computer is really borderline by now. It is barely functioning. I'm living in mortal fear of losing all my data because this computer is threatening every day to collapse. And so it's really time that I'm asking for Pacifica to provide a computer. Until now, I've always provided my own equipment. Also, when I travel, it's important for me to have a laptop if possible. Below that, I have promotional equipment. That is that mostly, I haven't detailed that, but mainly it's things like display and banners that we can use at conferences, just so that it's kind of sad right now when we go to conferences. If the Pacifica Radio Archives doesn't show up with their banners, we kind of don't have anything right now. We just have a table, and it's really not a great thing. So this is, this would be a equipment that would last for many years, so it would be kind of a one-shot purchase. The next item is $2,500 for office supplies and postage. I think that's self-explanatory. It's basically printer ink and paper. And I think last year I had to buy some software. It's just stuff to keep the office running. Below that is printed material, $2,000. That I see basically breaking up into two chunks. One is I have always, last year we didn't do it, but up until now we have always sent one card per year to our clients. When people affiliate with us right now, we don't send them anything. It's kind of bad form. And so to kind of make up for our lack of, stuff, I do at on the New Year send out a card to all our affiliates thanking them for re-affiliating with us and for staying with the network and showing our appreciation. And in the past, this has actually gone a long ways towards expressing what needs to be expressed once in a while to clients to keep things kind of correct between you and your clients. So that's about half of that. The other half would be material. when we go into the conferences in May and June, the GRC and the NFCB, those are our primary conferences, or any other conference we went to, those would be times when we would have to want to have some printed material. I have ideas for other printed material, but I think right now we're going with a bare-bones budget, and so that's really all I'm visualizing for this year. There are many other things we could – there's lots of it would be great if we could produce some manuals to go when people affiliate with us, but till this point we haven't been able to do that on paper. I do it electronically. Below that is conferences. That's $3,000. I'm breaking that roughly in half between the two main conferences are the Grassroots Radio Conference and the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. These are conferences that happen every year, and they're very important points of communication with affiliates and with many other people, and usually result in some new affiliations. And the Grassroots Radio Conference, I think I would judge about $800, and the NFCB at let me say just for now, to break it up, you know, in general numbers, it would be about $1,000 for Grassroots Radio Conference and $2,000 for NFCB. That's assuming that there's no other conference that we would want to go to. And there are other conferences that are worth going to. For instance, this year I went to the Canadian Radio Conference, and it was really a huge success and was very fruitful. So, you know, that there's an assumption in the conference budget that there might be some other conference that would be valuable, but it's mainly Grassroots and National Federation of Community Broadcasters. Then there's $1,000 of travel for coordinator. That is unspecified. I'm visualizing. There are sometimes reasons for me to travel to visit an affiliate. Doesn't happen a whole lot because we don't really have the money for it. But there's also there's a chance that I might end up going to a board meeting for some reason. And so that would also be fall under that. Now, below that are two larger chunks of money, $5,000 each. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I skipped. There's the cost for Free Speech Radio News, because Free Speech Radio News is not really considered part of Central Services. And this is a figure, the $8,571 is a figure that was given to me by the national office. Apparently there was an agreement made, I think, on the board level as to how much each unit should pay, and this was the agreed amount for the affiliates program. Below that are $5,000 each for two online projects. One is the build out of the website. This is a project that we would like to start this year regarding PacificaNetwork.org, and I've written a kind of an explanation of the vision statement for that, because that's a new project, and I'll be happy. I would really, really like to have time to read it to you. But before I do that, I want to check and see if you have time for that. And the other thing is, let me just move on to the other ones that are more self-explanatory.
Yeah, let me just say, Ursula, sorry to jump in. I was hoping we could keep this item to around a half an hour. And, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, we're the finance committee, so we're more kind of interested in the money aspect, though. You know, the logic behind the things is important, but some of that is,
okay,
is more like management type stuff, so... You know, use your
okay.
Judge.
Well, okay, let me just say then, for all intents and purposes, that the build-out of the website is for a project to really expand our Internet presence and in ways that will really utilize our resources, and is really designed to bring in income as well to the network. It's really a very, very serious effort to really use what I see as significant new resources that have arrived because we of the size of our network, that really at this point we can use to leverage to bring in much more income into the network. And that project is really oriented towards that, as well as really extending our reach and our ability to further our mission. So the $5,000 is an amount to jumpstart the project and to get it to the point where it can start to generate its own funds to sustain itself and to really, as soon as possible, bring income into the network. The second item, the audio port upgrade. The audio port, as you know, is our online content delivery system, and it's quite outdated. And there's some very important features that we want to make. The highest priority is to make it possible for stations to automate their use of the audio port, since this is of importance to a lot of our stations. What that means is that they can program their equipment to download content from us, because a lot of our stations don't always have staff in the stations. That's not possible right now, so that needs to be accomplished. And then we have a miscellaneous category, and then which is $800. And then the last item is the amount that we pay to Central Services, which has been calculated to be approximately comparable to what the stations pay. I think they pay something around 19%, and we've calculated here at 20%. And that comes to a total of $48,000. Now, having said all that, there is a surplus of funds, which totals $61,997. And so that also would go to Pacifica National. So in reality, the payment to Central Services will be 46% of the affiliate affiliate income. But they've been kept separate, and this is something I discussed with LaVarne in September, and I feel that it's really crucial to understanding what's happening. I think, you know, in order to protect an income and also to increase an income, you have to know what it is. And in that sense, you know, it's important to keep the Central Services amount separate from additional income so that we can monitor what's happening accurately. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you. And, you know, any questions, I'm very happy to answer.
I have one.
Thank you, Ursula. Let's see. What I'd like to do, we will take questions from everyone on the committee about this, but I'd like to provide just a couple of comments myself. And then ask for Grace and also for LaVarne for comments from them, because this is a new thing for us, and there's sort of some unknowns here. And that Grace and LaVarne in particular might have put some thought into this, which we should hear what they have to think. The only comments I wanted to make is that, first, thank you for putting this together. This is a valuable document which will help the foundation monitor what's going on. And, you know, people like me that are kind of, you know, many of us are not that closely aware of the affiliates program, and in particular the financial benefits of the program to the foundation. So having a budget that we can monitor over the course of the year will get us closer in touch with that, which is good. Personally, I'm not that comfortable with the committee deciding on, you know, whether, for example, another person is needed. I don't know. I see that as more of a management decision. I don't think most of us are in no place to decide whether that's the case. And as far as the 20% essential services, and then the rest of the six, which totals, this is 20% of the projected income of $240,000. Which comes out to $48,000, which is about right. The stations are assessed 19.5% of listener support, so that's where the 20% comes from. And then there's another. The total expenses come to $178,000 versus the income of $240,000. So there's a surplus there of almost $62,000, which will also go to Pacifica Foundation. So the total to Pacifica from this is $48,000 plus $62,000. It's about $110,000. Is that right? 110. The thing I have, I don't know that I'm in a position to assess what is the proper amount to bill the affiliate program as far as Central Services. You know, I don't know whether it's the right move or not to use the 20% that the stations use. because the affiliate program is a different animal. You know, the stations have their all their other expenses they have to keep up with. So that's something that kind of, I don't know, that's something I'd like to hear what people have to say about that. Okay, go ahead.
I guess, Jamie, if I can make one comment, I can explain a little bit the way I look at it, having done this now for about, you know, for almost 10 years. The thing is that the affiliates program is really a can be looked at as a small business venture built upon the fixed costs of the network. In other words, the affiliates program doesn't cause any costs to the network above and beyond what already exists. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, because I'm trying to say, well, you know, other people, you know, it's not a competitive statement. It's a business statement in terms of what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is this program is an opportunity to make money, to make more money off of what we already would have to pay anyway. And so that's the way I see it. And so, you know, I just lost my train of thought, but I think that was the gist of my thinking.
I understand what you're saying.
I'll stop. I just went blank there. So okay.
No problem. there's a lot of truth there. The other point that I wanted to point out, as opposed to the station budgets, we've spent most of our time looking at station budgets, which, you know, are a good bit larger, but they have a surplus at the end. And the difference, one difference between affiliate program and the stations is the stations have actual bank accounts, so whatever surplus they make is going to wind up in their bank account.
Right.
But the affiliates program really doesn't. So in a sense, the surplus, or how you assess cost to the affiliates that should go to the national office, in a way, it's somewhat academic. You know, you could probably rig it in a way that would make the program show a larger surplus or a smaller surplus, depending on what your vision was going in. I'm not saying anything about this, just something people to keep in mind. There is a difference between this budget and the station budget. But I would like to hear from Grace and LaVarn what your opinions about the budget are.
All right. Should I go first, or LaVarn, do you want to go first? Are you there, LaVarn?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Shall I go first, LaVarn?
That would be great. All right. Thank you.
Okay. I spoke with Ursula about this quite some time ago, at least 6 months ago. And I believe that there was a motion somewhere in the National Finance Committee to have the affiliate budget separated out from the national office budget. I can't seem to find it, however, but I recall that we did make that decision to do that. It was my feeling that it is a separate operation. It's similar as a unit to the archives, which is dissimilar from the stations in many ways, with dissimilar income and a different relationship. But I feel that the affiliate program should be looked at separately from the national office budget, where its expenses kind of get hidden and confused in with the rest of the finances at the national office level. I feel personally, I strongly recommend that we invest in the affiliate program. It's the one area where I think that expansion is very possible, even in a down economy, because we can add more stations and be more creative in how we expand our reach as a network and utilize things we're already paying for in unique and creative ways. I think Ursula has shown great fortitude in doing a lot of the work that was being done with another person last year. But this is something where if that extra additional staff person had not been cut, probably we would have seen enough income at this point in the year to have covered that person's or that budget item. I think it was penny wise and pound foolish to cut that staff time, mm-hmm. and because I think that we would have probably exceeded that budget item in improved income. The income held a little, just about steady, maybe a little bit of a decrease, but it's also hampered having Ursula do a lot of the grunt work of the affiliate network has hampered her ability to work on projects that would bring more expansion to the affiliate network. This is a modest increase in expenses, which I'm sure will boost the income as well as the reach of Pacifica in general, which is why I wanted it outside of the national office budget. It's also, we need to really pay attention to the automation of AudioPort. There's a huge amount of expansion capability from doing that. That needs to be prioritized. I feel that we should be paying close attention to that and make sure that it actually happens. That's in this budget as well.
Are you listening to this?
Okay, thank you, Grace. Let's see. LaVon, did you
here? Yeah. The important things on this budget, as Grace had said, are is the
Ron Hubbard.
I'm sorry. Is there someone there on the line?
Yeah, pardon. Please let LaVon. We can hear other people talking. So if you're not speaking, please mute your line. Thanks. Go ahead, LaVon.
Okay. Yeah. I think that in terms of Ursula pulling together the budget together, that she has done this in the past, and it was never allowed to be included or to bring it forth as a separate part of the national budget. So glad that this year we're finally able to do that. So, but in terms of the budget itself, the most important things, as Grace said, is in terms of AudioPort and how we can actually enhance our capabilities to the affiliate program and to the affiliates, and that we have the technical support in that budget to make that happen. That's very, very, very important. And as far as looking at central services and that the initial budget that came out of the national office, you know, we allocated expenses because, again, it goes into in terms of what you know, how you develop a budget and how you recognize that there are costs to every program. And I think the allocation of the cost shouldn't be a reflection in terms of how well the affiliate program is run, but is a reflection of our actual cost, which is, I guess, a point that I've tried to make many times, is that when bills are paid out of the national office, it's not monopoly money, it's cash that's going out. So the same thing with FSRN and with Democracy Now! You know, this is cash that goes out of the national office, and that and the affiliate system with FSRN and with Democracy Now! I think that we should allocate costs from this time. We can have a conversation with Arlene and Grace and Ursula and I to determine how much that should be and how in terms of what the real costs are and how we think that should be allocated and why it was done like that. But again, you know, I congratulate Ursula because she has done this many years in the past when I was on the board, and it was just never went any place, but we committed to that. So again, the most important thing, like we said again, is the technical support on AudioPort, that we have to be certain that the affiliates program, it does bring value to the affiliates, and that we need to do everything to help make that happen. But because of the lean and mean times that we're in, I think the most important thing is in terms of the AudioPort, the technical support, and to make sure that those items are in the budget.
Okay, thank you.
Jamie,
who was this?
This is Ifea.
Okay, hold on, Ifea. I had a question. Usually on these calls, we try to limit participation of non-committee members. If there's time at the end, non-committee members can participate. But I had a question.
You know, Jamie.
Yeah, I actually had a question for LaVarne, which was, are you saying that, what did you think about that other, there was another budget, another version of this budget that assessed like $119,000 fee to the affiliates program for 1/6 of Democracy Now! And Satellite?
Well, this is LaVarne.
I mean, are you comfortable with the way the costs are the costs to NO are allocated here with the 20% central service, or would you say that needs to be revisited?
No, again, this is LaVarne. I don't think we even need to put on the central services. I think that, as I said when I was talking at some point, that costs do need to be allocated. I don't think we need to put on central services on affiliates, because otherwise we're just allocating to ourselves, since that rolls up into the national office, so then it will be a net zero. So, as I said before, there are actual costs for FSRN, there are actual costs for Democracy Now!, and I think that since that was an issue, that after this call, that Arlene, Grace, and I, and Ursula, and can sit down and explain why, and we can have Lynn on also explain why those costs should be allocated to the affiliates program. So, yeah, I'm comfortable with some amount of allocation, and that we can sit down and go over that. And I apologize earlier for not being able to get with you, but I hate to keep saying this, but I've been kind of like not had any sleep since last Friday. So, but that's what I think we need to do, because that's the issue seems to be in terms of the allocated costs. But like I think Jamie said, that to do central services to ourselves doesn't make any sense.
Well, can I respond to that, Jamie?
So basically, just hold on 1 sec. Just so I understand what you're saying, LaVarne, what I understand you to be saying is that you think you all should have a conversation to kind of figure out the proper way to allocate costs to affiliates to pay national office. Is that what I understand you saying?
Oh, no, not to pay national office. You're not, I mean, it's all been a part of national office, but in order to allocate some of the cost for
right.
the affiliates for Democracy Now! And FSRN to the affiliates program.
Right, but you're saying that needs to be kind of worked on, right?
Yeah, it needs to be worked on.
Okay.
We need to revisit that again so we can all come to, we can all come to an agreement about how much should be allocated.
Okay, Jamie.
Okay, yes, thank you.
Jamie, so I have a point of order. It's Grace.
Yes. Okay.
I think strongly that EFIA should be given a chance to speak. The affiliate program does not have representation because they don't have a treasurer. So there's a lack of representation for the affiliates. But we do have affiliate directors, and I think it's right and proper for EFIA as an affiliate director to speak to the affiliate budget.
Okay, that's fine. I'll accept your point of order. First of all, I heard Ursula wanted to respond to a comment from LaVarne.
Yeah, I don't agree that paying the central services fee is paying ourselves. I mean, the whole point of making a budget this year was to be able to articulate what went to the national office and what the affiliate program could retain to reinvest in itself, because up until now, we really have been in a situation where this part of the network has had practically no resources. I mean, I have never had the ability to plan or really invest significantly in this program, and it is rapidly, leading to the deterioration of what's really a great opportunity for this network. And the whole point of making a budget was to begin articulating these things so we can see what's going on. So paying 20% to central services is not paying ourselves, because the needs of the affiliate program are not the same as the national office, or the need to, to make up for any deficits that occur because of lower fundraising at the station. That's all kind of gets mixed together. And in the end, what happens is that income gets end up calling expenses, and the fact that the affiliates program is earning income gets hidden, and it becomes impossible again for the affiliates program to understand where we can invest or even invest anything in keeping this program going. So it's not the same thing at all. That's why we decided to do a budget this year, was so that we could sort these things out and see what's really going on.
Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ursula. Okay, I heard Ethea and then Luzette.
R. Paul for Stack.
And then R. Paul.
Sherry for Stack.
And then Sherry. Ethea, Luzette, R. Paul, Sherry. Campbell. Okay, let me write this down. So the first person up is Ethea.
Okay. Thank you, Grace, for going. And thank you, Jamie, for accepting Grace's point of order. And I would like to first of all talk about the characterization of affiliates as partners as opposed to customers, clients, and all those other what we view as inferior characterizations of our relationship with Pacifica, and especially the view that we are cash cows, opportunities for making money as opposed to opportunities for realizing the mission of Pacifica and of advancing the footprint of a progressive community radio and of enhancing the capacity of the organization. And it is on that basis that I sent to you all of you, a statement about my reservations about the budget as it's presented, and I hope that Jamie will disseminate that so that you can go into, you'll get further detail about it. But I want to echo the point that Grace and LaVon made about the importance of AudioPort, and that it is primary. It has been a demand, a long-standing demand of the affiliates for more than 5 years, and was reiterated in a 2007 survey wherein the affiliates themselves, or ourselves, specifically stated that audio port was essential. So I am, as the advocate and representative for the affiliates, I'm calling on the NFC, I'm calling on the incoming director, Arlene, to make it the priority and to allocate the resources of the affiliates program in such a way that the needs of the affiliates are not only recognized but are met. Secondly, along those same lines, is the fact that the greatest demand from the affiliates is for technical assistance, and that it is imperative that the technical staff and consultants be readily available so as to provide appropriate and timely responses to the needs and demands of the affiliates. It was especially interesting to note on Sunday evening that even the affiliate candidates, representative candidates, spoke to the necessity for technical and timely and appropriate technical assistance. So in terms of prioritizing allocations on the affiliate's budget, AudioPort and technical staff availability is paramount. It is fundamental to the relationship, the partnership between Pacifica and the affiliate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Fia. Okay, let's see. Why don't I suggest, Ursula, that you keep notes on what everybody says, and then you could respond after we get to the end of the stack.
This is Summer. I want to be on the stack.
And Summer, okay.
I hope you put me on, Mr. Chairman.
Summer and Alberta. Okay, next person up is speaking, a director from Washington, D.C.
Yes. Two questions when Ursula is responding. If she could explain to me if the affiliates get any benefits from the network, and if they get any benefits, how different are the benefits from the network? You know, if they're different from that the stations get, because I think I heard her expressing some reservations as to the 20%.
Okay, so your question is to Ursula. Why don't I take back what I said? And Ursula, if you're on the call, why don't you answer these questions as they come up? That's probably the wisest way to do it.
And the other one is, the other question is, I know you couldn't give us or didn't give us the your salary and benefits. What percentage increase is it at this point? You don't have to give me the number. Just give me a percentage.
I am not asking for a salary increase. I have quite frankly, a very, very low salary, and I would love an increase, but under the circumstances right now financially, my philosophy is to try to provide the resources for that increase in this coming year in terms of, building everybody's financial welfare. I'm not asking for an increase this year.
Okay, that's good. Thank you, Ursula. And that the other question was benefits to the affiliate.
The benefits, by benefits, do you mean what do they get from their affiliation? Is that the question?
What do they get as if affiliates to the network?
Well,
and how
they,
different is that benefit from that of the station?
Let me see. I'm trying to think of how to answer that question.
Well, basically, they pay us a fee, and they get to write the run programs.
Yeah,
right?
they in terms of programs they get access to, it's the same as the Pacifica stations. Everybody in the network has access to all of the same programming, and it doesn't, you know, the amount that they pay or who they are doesn't really affect that, because we don't sell a la carte programming.
I think what I'm trying to ask,
yeah, they
of you
also,
is to express the reservation for the affiliates paying central services in the same way that the stations are paying.
I'm trying to understand your question. I guess in a way the answer to your question is yes. In some ways, in terms of services given to stations from the affiliate's office, it's and also from the technical director and the technical staff. The services, well, I would say more, let's start with the affiliates office. The services that we provide to the affiliates are kind of the same as what we provide to the Pacifica stations. In other words, in the work I do, all of the stations in the network are kind of similar and are offered the same services. They get the same level of programming. If producers at Pacifica stations need help with network assistance, then I work with them the same as I would affiliates. I don't make a whole lot of distinction. I think that, and the technical staff of Pacifica provides services to the affiliates as well when they need it. Obviously, they receive less technical support than Pacifica stations do because they have their own system of of technical support. But they do, when it comes to network services, they also get that from John and his staff. Other services they get are the kind of administrative assistance that we provide. I mean, we provide to the Pacifica stations from this office as well as to affiliates. So I hope that answers your question. You know, kind of in my world, it's the same. You know, the Pacifica stations are very similar to the affiliates in terms of what, you know, how we interact with each other.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's go further down the stack. Next is up is, thank you for that answering the question. Next up is R. Paul Martin, R. Paul's treasurer from WBAI.
Okay. Hello, Ursula, and I'm glad to see a budget that's something that's self-sustaining here, rarity. Hope we can do more of that. I have a question on line 13, the computer, and I'm wondering why a laptop as opposed to a desktop. And the other thing is, since you mentioned you're worried about the whole thing crashing, what's the backup protocol that you have? Because I know what happens when something crashes and you lose everything and you don't have a backup. And I'll also note that Pacifica had a little problem with this a couple of years ago itself. So backup protocol is something we should probably pay attention to.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm very scared because right now, to be really honest, I've tried several times to back up this computer and have failed, and that's one of the things that the coordinator's assistant, you know, is was planning to work on. We were hoping to be able to do that as soon as possible. Right now, I can't turn my computer off because I will never start again. So it's it's an issue of concern. There's also a few problems with viruses that need to be resolved, and this is one of the things. I mean, one thing of many that I need assistance with. In terms of the laptop, I don't. Nothing's written in stone. It's just that these days laptops are so good that if I could hook the laptop up to my monitor and probably would do more than what my computer does, and a laptop can go with me to conferences.
Okay. All right, thank you for that. Let's see, next up is Sherry Gendelman, director from KPFA.
Okay, thanks, Jimmy. So I share your concern about the appropriateness of this committee deciding to add staff. That's it's not within the venue of this committee to recommend that, only the financial impact to the network if staff were added. So I just wanted to endorse those remarks. In terms of AudioPort, I wonder if you could comment or compare it. You're saying it's essential, but it, several people within the medium say that it is somewhat clumsier and more difficult to access than NPR's PRX, where, you know, a listener could just go up there and hear it, sample shows of just about everything. And local stations could carry something different, but on AudioPort, you can't listen to almost everything unless you work at one of the stations. And in order to do that, you have to get an account and go through a process to be able to log on, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm wondering if you have explored rebuilding, or if anyone has explored rebuilding AudioPort to make it friendlier so that you could actually use it for promoting different things. And I think finding things on PRX is a lot more user-friendly than AudioPort. So I have those concerns about just the viability of AudioPort as compared to PRX. And those are my concerns right now.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. Ursula, do you have any response? Or?
Well, I share some of your concerns, Sherry, and other ones I disagree with you. I agree. I think we all agree that AudioPort needs many types of upgrades, and we would love to do, you know, a whole lot. We've had to prioritize because PRX is a facility that's built with millions and millions of dollars, and AudioPort is not. And so much as I think PRX has wonderful, wonderful features, and I wish we could do that, but we don't have that kind of money. So we have to take one project at a time and improve the website as we go along. So the automation has been considered the next priority. In the response to your larger questions about AudioPort, I actually disagree with you. I think, AudioPort and PRX were built around the same time, and we there was a lot of exchange between us. But in the end, and there was actually attempts for us to work together. We first tried to see if we could work together, but But in the end, it kind of turned out that AudioPort is doing something different than PRX, and both have tremendous value. PRX is more like a store. It's a public site where people go and they buy content and sell content. AudioPort has really been conceptualized as an in-house tool among people in the network and a sound exchange. And so its benefits is that it's kind of, in a sense, an open-source way for people within our network to function in a much more grassroots level and, to help each other do radio on a grassroots level. So it kind of serves a different function. Now, the truth is that I have gotten some feedback in the recent past about the two websites, and it's interesting because many stations are telling me that they prefer AudioPort, both for receiving content and distributing it, because of the type of content that's in it. AudioPort is from our network, so it really features grassroots content in a way that PRX does less so. And it's interesting that in terms of getting your programs distributed, the feedback I'm getting is that AudioPort is more successful, that unless you really have a tremendous capacity to promote yourself or you have a brand name, it's very difficult to get your program distributed through PRX, while it's relatively easy through AudioPort. And the reason for that is because AudioPort is part of a network, is part of network activity. It has a network attached to it. And so people are driven to the website, and they're motivated to use the content for a whole, they're much more motivated to do that than with PRX. So it's not to say it's really a better website. Obviously, PRX is a wonderful website. And I would love it someday if we could, have our website function as well as, theirs in terms of, the way it looks and the way you can move through it. AudioPort is a very easy website to use once you've made a password for yourself. There's really no obstacles to accessing content. It's very easy to use. It has been, there have been phases when it's been buggy, and that has to do with, our staff, how much staff we can allocate and how much time we can, money we can allocate to, working on it. We just, it's a grassroots version of.
Right. That's good. That's a good answer. Sorry to cut.
Sorry to be long-winded.
No.
On the stack, Mr. Chair, Susan.
Okay, Susan. Okay, next up, let's see. We have Campbell, Summer, Alberto, and then Susan. I'd like, hopefully, we can keep that to be it and then have a motion to what to do with this. We actually have the PFW budget, which is, probably 10 times as large as this to look at, not to dismiss the affiliates, but we have other things we have to deal with.